Hey, this is Ollie and welcome to The Body Reset. This podcast has been built to help career-driven professionals and business owners intelligently upgrade their body, energy and personal performance in the modern world. I want to help uncover some of the core concepts, beliefs and frameworks that we've used with thousands of clients to navigate health and performance as we age. If you want more like this, simply subscribe so you never miss the newest episode. Three common weight training mistakes. If you're getting into weight training now or you've been resistance training, weight training for a long time, these are three common mistakes I see all the time. And I want to walk you through them so that you understand the thought process behind them so that you can be safer, you can be smarter, and you become more effective with every single workout that you do. We've just finished wrapping up a client workshop up in Auckland, New Zealand. Had another 35 odd clients join us for this event. We do these three or four times a year, every year. And this is three key points that I always bring up at the start of every workshop because they're that important. If you're doing any form of resistance and weight training, being able to strengthen the body without damaging joints is probably part of that space. Whether you're looking to drop body fat, build muscle, you want to look after those joints. You want to show up in a way that you know the workout's been effective, and you want to make sure that your body's better off, not worse off for doing so. And until you bring an ability or an awareness to how your own body is moving rather than what the dumbbell is doing, one, it's mind-numbingly boring, but two, you're leaving 80% of the results on the table at minimum. So these three key steps really allow you to address it in a smarter way, knowing what to look for, make it a lot more interesting so that you're really paying attention to what your body needs out of the session rather than just lifting a dumbbell up and down. So the first one I want to address is the speed of movement. And this is something that even for clients that have trained for 20 years, bringing the concept of tempo into a workout can be game changing because it really allows us to manipulate so many variables of exercise so that you're not just doing the same thing all of the time. And this is the way that I could give you the same workout with the same exercises for 12 weeks. And just by adjusting the tempo, the speed to which you do the motions, whether we pause in certain places, where we slow down in certain places, whether we speed up in certain places, can completely change the stimulus on the muscle, the amount of metabolic demand on the muscle or the body, and the amount of muscle breakdown in the tissue that we're training as well. So looking at tempo is a really, really powerful space. And when we start to address where most people or everybody is always trying to find naturally the easiest way to do a motion, right, is we all kind of stand up at the top of a squat or we all lock out at the top of a bench press. And it's all our body is trying to do is it's always trying to find the easiest path to lift a dumbbell, right? If I'm lifting hay bales in the yard or out in the farm, I want my body to use the strongest muscles and it to be as efficient as possible because I've got 300 more of them to do. Right? So it's a very survival-based or evolved mechanism in regards to how we move is our body's going to put all of that tension on the muscles that are strongest. But if we're in a gym, the goal here is to focus on identifying our weaknesses, building our overall stability and strength in those muscles so that we have a level of balance and structural integrity of joints so we don't have to have a knee surgery or that our shoulder actually has some range left and it will continue to well into the future. So all that to say, if we don't bring them awareness to what the muscle is doing first, then we bang up all those joints and we might as well not do it anyway. So tempo needs to, before I give you an example of what tempo is, I need to first highlight the three types of muscle contraction so you know what you're looking for, because tempo can be really, really confusing if you're thinking about what the dumbbell's doing rather than what your body is doing, and you'll see that in a second. So there's three types of muscle contraction and that's it. There's only three. The first one is isometric, right? You're holding in one position and it's an isometric contraction. There's no movement. The second one here is a concentric contraction, which is shortening of the muscle. And then lastly, we have the eccentric, which is lengthening the muscle. Now, you don't need to remember the names, but you do need to remember there's a hold, there's a shortening, and there's a lengthening. Okay. Now, as soon as you understand that and you look at that in any muscle that you're trying to train, whether it might be your lats, it might be your biceps, it might be your quads, it might be your glutes, looking at those muscles in regards to where am I holding a certain position, where am I lengthening and stretching out that muscle, and where am I shortening, makes a huge difference, or at least a nice awareness to have. So, what I'm going to give you here is a classic tempo of a 3-0-1-0. All right. Now, the confusion here is what is the first number? Where do I start? The first number is always the lengthening of a muscle. So a 3-0-1-0, if I'm doing a bicep curl, is going to be 3 down, not 3 up. It's 3 down. I'm lengthening that bicep and then I'm coming up for 1. 3 down, 1 up. 3 down, 1 up. That's a 3-0-1-0. Where it gets complicated is if you're not thinking about the muscle at least, is if you're doing a chest press, it's going to be 1 up and 3 down, If you're going to do a row, it's going to be three down and one up, right? Or back, right? So bringing that awareness to what muscle is shortening is the only way for tempos to be done correctly, because without it, you'll be swinging the wrong way. So if you're thinking about a chest press, I'm shortening when I'm pressing up, right? Which means that's the one, and then lengthening on the way down is the three. Whereas if I'm doing it for a row and I'm trying to say train maybe my lats here, these are the main muscle of my back, but certainly for our clients we're trying to address a lot of the time, we're looking to shorten that muscle on the way down, and then we're looking to lengthen the muscle on the way out again, all right? Or more accurately, sorry, row in is shortening the muscle, and then rowing out is lengthening the muscle. So a 3-0-1-0 is, as long as we're focusing on what the muscle is doing, it allows you to know which way that arm is going at what speed. Where this comes in is I can slow this motion down by going a 4-0-1-0. So I'm slowing down the stretching out of that muscle. I could do a 3-0-1-2, which would be a long hold. So I'm doing 1 second in, I'm holding for 2 seconds at the back, and then I'm doing that 3 seconds out. And there's a lot of manipulation here that we can do of an exercise that even if it's the same squat, doing the difference between doing a squat up and down versus slow down, hold for two, drive up, don't pause, and then back into the next rep is significantly different on how that muscle works. Now, where this becomes the game changer is for most effective stimulus on a muscle, you want to make sure you're at least getting 30 to 35 seconds of tension on the muscle in a set. Now, this is where most people count to say 10 reps, right? I'm doing a set of 10. But if I do a set of 10 really quickly, I can get that whole set done in 20 seconds. Right? Whereas I slow things down, I do 4 seconds down, I hold for one, and I come back up, I could be doing 6 seconds per exercise times 10. I'm now doing 60 seconds total. So I'm getting significantly more, 40 seconds more of tension than the first group simply by the speed to which I'm doing the motion. And this is where that quality over quantity comes in, because it's no longer just the rep count that I'm doing, it's the total time under tension, and more specifically, what part of that rep I'm spending more time in the eccentric, because potentially I'm stronger there, or I'm trying to isolate the length and range. Now, this is where it can get technical, but it's where that idea of programming becomes a lot more about the speed and the style of the movement, not just a new exercise. And I think certainly on Instagram, we can come up with the brand new, funky looking new exercise rather than doing the basics properly. And when we look at something like a hip thrust or a squat or a row, looking at tweaking tempos can be a complete shift in your quality of movement and certainly your effectiveness of a workout. So number one, the big mistake that most people from a resistance training standpoint do not look at is the tempo, looking at the speed to which you're doing the motions. The second one I want to address here is really looking at the muscle tightness space. And I think this is really the ability to break down some beliefs about where those tightnesses keep coming through, right? If you've been stretching your hamstrings for 20 years and they haven't got any looser, they haven't got any more relaxed, it's not the hamstrings problem, it's the other muscles, right? What the hamstring's doing there is all the work to keep those hips in place. Now, if you sit down all day, then we're probably relaxing some muscles. And maybe it's our glutes, our hip flexors, our core. There's a whole lot of other areas that we can start to address. If we're tight through our pec, there might be instability through serratus or our lats or our lower traps or other muscles through that torso. And being able to look at that as an ability to find the weakness is so much more helpful than looking at it through the lens of this muscle is tight, I'm going to relax it. And certainly if you're trying to stretch muscles before lifting, what you're essentially doing is giving yourself more range that you're unstable in before lifting a dumbbell. The end result there is you tweak or injure a muscle a lot more regularly because you're going beyond the protective mechanism. Ultimately, that's what tightness is, that it is giving you, right? The first thing you do when you step on ice, your body tightens up, right? It's exactly what you're doing in that spot. It's sensing instability in a joint or a region and it's tightening up. Now, if you go stretch that, then you're literally just going against your own body's protective mechanism. I want to give you a visual of essentially the Golden Gate Bridge, right? We're looking at this as a, you know, you've got your bridge on the bottom, you've got these ropes holding from both sides, and then you've got these little ropes that are holding the top rope to the bridge across. So you're supporting the bridge, right? From there, imagine that one of those ropes snaps, right? The middle rope is snapped. What happens to the other ropes on the bridge that are holding that bridge in place? It tightens. There's more tension on those other ropes on the bridge because that middle one is not working, or in this case, snapped, right? Now, from a general thought process of what we always use, that muscle's tight, let's stretch. Now put that in front of what we're using with the bridge. If I stretch the ropes left that are tight, that doesn't fix the problem. It just stretches them when something is missing. And when you can use that visual of what that bridge shows, and I'll put one up on the screen, we need to find out what muscle is no longer working. And when you use that analogy of the bridge and you've got all of those ropes helping to keep the bridge up, if one of them's not working, there's more tension on the other ropes. What we need to do is, rather than stretching the other ropes, is we need to get that one back online. So identifying what muscle might not be working really allows us to look at identifying what muscle is no longer firing. And this happens all the time, right? If you've got a tightness in your upper back and you're always tight through your shoulders, you've got a tightness in your hips or your hamstrings or your lower back, that's these little accessory muscles or antagonist muscles, the ones on the other side, that are typically not working, that allows us to find a way to contract. Now, what this is I promise I'm not trying to make this more complicated. What I'm doing is giving you the ability to take control back rather than needing to think about relaxing, releasing all of the time, because it's not doing anything. If we can look at finding the muscles that are weak or underactive, find a way to strengthen them, you overall become a lot stronger, a lot more stable, and a lot more resilient to stuff in your day, rather than tweaking it every time that you're on an unstable surface or you pick something up from the ground. And I've gone through this in personal experience because I was rowing for 5 years, always on one side, and I had huge issues with my lower back always tweaking, always being the problem. And I became very tentative every time I had to bend my back in certain ways that something would ping. And I stretched and I stretched and I stretched and nothing got better until I started looking at strengthening, until I started looking at, okay, well, what muscles are not working here? And in my case, one side of my lower back was doing all of the work and the other side literally was just non-existent. It wasn't working. It was atrophied in comparison in regards to much smaller muscle size. And being able to switch those on, really get things working, made a significant difference, not just in my strength of my lower back, but just confidence of knowing how I could fix it long term. Okay, so the second one there is muscle tightness is not about stretching things. It's a protective mechanism there because something else is not working. If we can get that switched on, it makes all the difference when we start to address stability of motion and overall function of muscle. The third one I want to go through here is going to be the strength curve. Now that we've gone through tempo and we've gone through muscle tightness, tempo becomes a lot easier to understand, but also completely game-changing when it comes to your structure of your workouts to make the best use of time and to know that you've best utilized those muscles in a workout. So the way a strength curve works, just visualize a basic bell curve, right? You've got most of it in the middle and then it kind of winds down at both ends. Now, when we look at weight training, a lot of us tend to worry about being, if we put muscle on, we might be sort of muscle bound. That's a word I certainly have heard a lot, is feeling like as soon as I start building muscle, I get tight. That doesn't happen from building muscle. That happens from doing things in a way that you're just slapping exercise together, that understanding how the body works. Now, I'll give you an example, which is if all I'm doing for chest is simply a bench press, I'm pressing in the mid-range, then what I'm doing there is I'm getting really strong at that one part of the range. If I'm not getting myself into the extremes, I'm stretching out to get into, say, a fly position here, and I'm not coming right across the body to really contract the muscle, then I'm missing a big part of that range. Now, one that's probably a lot more relevant for many of you is something like running. If I'm running a lot, I notice that I get a lot tighter through my hips, because if I think about running, I'm only really getting 20, 25 degrees of hip range through that movement. So the best thing to improve my running may not be more running, or certainly not stretching after the workouts because things are tight. It can be an additional benefit, but not the entire benefit. What I'm going to do in my resistance training workouts to improve my running would be glutes, would be hip flexors, would be hamstrings. Really getting those muscles through the entire range, looking at something like a straight leg deadlift, a hip thrust, some sort of one leg raise, some sort of stability work where I'm doing a plank or even a side plank, are nice ways to look at making sure all of those other muscles are working. And in some of those are full range, some of those are isometric. But the goal here is to make sure that I'm accessing the fully shortened and fully lengthened range of a muscle. Now, how this applies to a workout is I don't just simply go into a gym and lift up the bar and go into squats. Now, and if you're anything past 25, your joints probably won't like you very much for that anyway. So starting workouts with something like a hip thrust or a hamstring curl can be a beautiful way to really get some blood flow, wake up some of those key muscles, so that when you move into more of these open chain or compound motions like a squat or a lunge, your joints feel significantly significantly better and you've got those main muscles primed and ready to go. For upper body, same thing. We're looking at doing some sort of a row type motion or some type of fly where we're shortening that muscle first. We're contracting. We can really feel it with a lightweight, isolated motion before we go into some of these bigger or more compound lifts. Now, if you're, like I said, if you're anything over 25, your joints will thank you. Your ability to contract and have an awareness of what that muscle's doing will go through the roof and your joints will be very happy. So an ability to look at strength curve, appreciating it as in a way to make a complete workout, but also the ability to prime the body with the right type of motions at the start of the workout to really design it the whole way through rather than just having a random collection of exercises will make a huge difference. I promise. It's how we structure most of our workouts. And the reason I say most is because sometimes it doesn't have to happen in a particular workout, but over a course of a week, we are accessing the entire range. And this is where the beauty of programming over a period of time really starts to take effect, because it's not just a random collection of exercises. We're manipulating tempos. We're manipulating a lot of variables, actually, things like density, lactic acid accumulation, frequency of workouts, all of these other things we can start to address. But fundamentally, tempo and managing or structuring the workouts to access that entire strength curve and entire muscle makes a world of difference in how you're moving. So a bit of a deep dive, a lot more technical, a bit of a nerd out on weight training, but three key areas that most people do not take enough time to appreciate around how to do weight training properly for it to be a lot more intelligent in its design and your body's a lot happier for it. If this is something you're new to, something you want to look a bit deeper into, the best place that you can start will be our activation series. If you haven't gone through that yet, just comment activations below, or if you're on YouTube or podcast, you'll see the link below that you can go to these activation series. It's a free series. I walk you through some of the really key main muscle groups that allows you to see where the fully shortened range is, what are the motions that you can do at the start of the workout to prime the muscle, bring a lot more awareness to what that muscle is actually doing, and start to be a lot safer and smarter with how you train. Hopefully this gave you some awareness of where to start. Like I said, every client walks away with these workshops looking at exercise completely differently. And these are three really, really crucial parts or understanding around how to move that will make all the difference. And I hope it will for you too. Now, I hope you have an amazing week, guys. We will be back next week. And hopefully that helps. See you then. See ya.
This episode was brought to you by The Body Reset, world leaders in health and performance coaching. If you love this episode, it would be a massive help if you just share with one person that you think would benefit. I'd also love to hear from you personally on social media or via email if I can help you personally. Until next time, remember, long-term change comes from self-compassion, and thanks for tuning in.